Okay, so Omegana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shutakaya. Tapsur and Miditam Gana. Tasmai Shigurveina Maha. So today is the glorious commemoration of the disappearance day of Shivas Thakur. So we're going to be speaking about Shivas Thakur. Also this evening, we have a program in Marianti's house. And the program is, I guess, about Shivas Thakur, but also myself, who is not so humble. I'm not a humble servant. I'm a puffed up servant. Anyway, not so humble servant of Shivas Thakur and Prabhupada. It's actually funny how people say, "You're humble servant," and or "Please accept my humble obeisances." And I'm thinking, if you say you're humble, that means you're not, right? Of course, the word humble can also mean worthless, but obeisances are never worthless, right? So it's kind of funny, this word humble. But humble can also mean, please accept my prostrated obeisances, you know, something very low. But I tend to avoid the use of the word humble in relationship to myself or anything I'm doing. Your humble servant. Yes, I'm very humble. Because then as soon as you think you're humble, you're not anymore. Because you're actually proud of your humility, which is a contradiction. You're a proud, humble servant. Isn't it? Anyway, so I'm supposed to be a humble servant of Shivas Thakur, but I'm not. But I'm trying. At least I can say that. So, this evening, we'll be actually commemorating, because I took sannyas on this day 35 years ago, before any of you were born. Or some of you. Nandisha was there. He was a little baby about this big. How old are you?
He's 19. 55,
born in 19. Oh, so you were definitely born at that time. I took sannyas in 1978. Anyway, we'll talk about that tonight. So it's a very auspicious day to take sannyas. So any of you are interested in renouncing this world, giving up society, friendship, and love, see me, and we can arrange a father's celebration tonight. So let's talk about Shivas Thakur. Of course, we all worship the Panchatattva. Panchatattva means the five truths. Tattva. So that which is. So the five truths are Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Dvaita, Gadadhar, and Shivas. That's the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Does anyone have any tissues?
Yes.
Just have to. I'm experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, so I have to blow my nose. Yes, sir. The gurus are actually all on the absolute platform, so whatever they experience is all transcendental. Anyway, so that's important to be humorous. You live a long time if you're humorous. Anyway, as part of my other seminar. So in any case, Shivas Thakur, he's a member of the Panchatattva. So you have Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself in the mood of Shrimati Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Radha and Krishna have appeared in one form nowadays, and that's his Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Nityananda, Balaram Hoila Nitai, who is Balaram, Advaitacharya, who is Sadashiva Mahavishnu. It's interesting. Let me describe a little bit about Advaitacharya. Because sometimes, you know, you hear the description, Advaitacharya is Sadashiva. Oh, Hare Krishna. Bonjour. Dobra Yutra, right? Okay, learn a little bit. So, you hear Sava Shiva, you hear that, Lord Shiva, and then you understand that Dvaitacharya is also Vishnu Tattva. So how is this? What's happening now? Thank you. Dhanyavad. So, how is that possible that you have Vishnu Tattva and Sada Shiva simultaneously? So that's explained that the origin of Lord Shiva, of course, and Lord Shiva in this world appears from the glance of the Mahavishnu, Saikshita. That's called Shambhu. But the original manifestation from who the Lord Shiva in this world is an expansion is called Sadashivan, who has a planet in the spiritual world. And that's Mahavishnu. And of course, specifically, Advaitacharya is the, there's two aspects of the material creation. There's the Pradhan, and then the, Pradhan means the elements, the unmanifest stage of the three modes of nature. And then there's the glance of the Lord. There's the active principle. So in one sense, the Pradhan manifests from Advaitacharya. Anyway, we don't want to get too philosophical here. So then, after Advaitacharya, you have Gadadhar, who is Srimati Radharani, but Srimati Radharani without the left-handed mood. Because Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is very submissive to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas Srimati Radharani is not so submissive to Krishna. The reason she's like that, or he's like that, that he's given up that left-handed mood, is that Lord Chaitanya has assumed the form of Srimati Radharani, or the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he's left that up to Lord Chaitanya to exhibit. And therefore, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is exhibiting more similar mood to that of Rukmini or Chandravali, which is a submissive mood. Anyway. So then you have Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. And he is the Jiva soul, member of the Panchatattva. And it's interesting about Srivas Thakur, we're going to be talking about his life in a second, or his pastimes in a second. But even though he is an expansion or incarnation of Narada Muni, in the pastimes of Srivas Thakur, he gets married. And Narada Muni is generally known as a what? A brahmachari, renunciate. He really doesn't have anything to do with that stuff. But in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he gets married, but then, as we'll hear later, his son dies. And then Lord Chaitanya becomes, and Lord Nityananda become his sons. So it's a very interesting story. So, here's some details. Srivas Thakur lived in Srihat. That's where he and his brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, and Sri Nidhi. And Sri Ram, incidentally, his brother, is considered an incarnation of Parvat Muni. Parvat Muni and Narada Muni, they're just like two friends. They always stay together, visit different people. Just like, actually, Narada Muni, Bhaja, Vina, Radhika, Ramana, Namane. Narada Muni is eternal, as Prabhupada said, a spaceman. But not in the same way the devotees are spacemen. Because the devotees are spaced out, right? But not all devotees, of course. But spaceman means he's eternally traveling, playing on his Veena, chanting Radhika Ramana, the names of Hari. It's a different way of chanting Hare Krishna. And wherever he travels, he's just inspired in Krishna consciousness. Just like someone wrote me a letter the other day. One of my god sisters, she said, wrote me a letter. She says, "Oh, I've just finally realized I'm a gopi in Vrindavan." And I wrote her a letter back. I said, "I finally realized I'm a servant of Prabhupada, and I would like to travel with Narada Muni eternally." And she said, "What about your Braja identity?" I basically said that's none of your business. So anyways, you know, so actually it would be nice to travel with Narada Muni, isn't it? And assist Narada Muni. So that's one of my aspirations, to always travel and preach eternally assisting Srila Prabhupada, like Narada Muni is traveling and preaching. Anyway, so Narada Muni was married, and his brother Sri Ramas Parvata Muni, and his wife's name was Malini, who in Krishna Leela was Ambika, or Krishna's nurse, which is interesting. And his niece was Narayani. And everybody knows who Narayani was the mother of? It's a test to make sure everyone's awake. Narayani had a son. Her son's name was... What? No. No. That's a little later. Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur. And when Narayani was in the house of Shivas Thakur, she was only 4 years old. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very kind to her. He gave her his remnants, prasadam remnants. And then he said to her, Narayani, chant Hare Krishna. And this little girl, 4 years old, started to jump up and down in ecstasy, roll on the ground, cry. And she really got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by taking his remnants. It's said that there's very powerful substances related to Krishna and his pure devotees. And those substances are like the prasadam remnants, the foot bathing water, and the dust of the feet. So, just like when Srila Prabhupada was present, I would go on his morning walks, and I would take the dust, the sand actually, from his feet and eat it. Walk behind Prabhupada. I wanted to take advantage. His footprint was there and just throw the sand. It didn't taste so great, but it gave me some spiritual advancement. And then when I served Prabhupada prasad, I would steal the whole plate and not share it with anyone else. And even eat the grape stems and the orange rinds and everything like that. Try to get some mercy. So anyway, so Narayani was like that with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then later on, she gave birth to Vrindavan Das Thakur as a result of getting that mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Narayani was actually, in Krishna's pastime, she was actually Ambika's sister. Remember I said Ambika was Krishna's nurse. And Malini, who was Shiva Thakur's wife, was Ambika. Remember that? Okay, all right. So Shivas Thakur was a quite older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he and his wife actually cared for Mother Sachi when she was pregnant, and then later on after she gave birth to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Shivas Thakur, of course, was a natural devotee from his very appearance in this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't exhibit the qualities, at least openly, of being a devotee until after he took initiation. He was showing us the importance of approaching the spiritual master. Of course, the spiritual master was Ishwara Puri. And Lord Chaitanya exhibited the pastimes of being just a logician, you know, someone who argued with everybody. He would approach the devotees and he would challenge them to a debate. And the devotees, because they couldn't defeat Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would actually run away when they saw him. And Srivas Thakur one time said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "O crest jewel," this is a quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, "O crest jewel of arrogance, do you know the purpose of life?" In other words, of course Lord Chaitanya knew the purpose of life, but he was acting to show us, you know, the Lord does that. Like the Lord always accepts a spiritual master, Hare Krishna. Like Krishna engaged in sadhana, Lord Chaitanya engaged in sadhana. So, he was acting in such a way as to show us the importance of sadhana bhakti and spiritual master. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas Thakur, by your mercy I will understand these things later on. And then he would even sometimes say, by your mercy I will become such a great devotee of Krishna that even the demigods will worship me. So they kept thinking, like Srivas Thakur and the others were thinking, this guy's really puffed up. Not only is he attacking the devotees, but he's thinking he's going to become such a great devotee, all the demigods are going to worship him. Because they all wanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a devotee, because they thought he's such a good logician, and he can speak so nicely, that if he becomes a devotee, he'll be our best preacher. Right? Just like sometimes we preach to important people in society for that same reason. We think, you know, if I could make the president of the country a devotee. I mean, one time I went to visit the president of Slovenia. He was a vegetarian, Drnovšek. I think some of you may have heard about him. Yeah. And I was thinking, if I could make him a devotee, we could spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. It would be the first Krishna conscious country. So I went there, and he was very favorable, but he didn't become a devotee. At least not in this lifetime. But he took prasadam, and we had an hour and a half discussion with him about Krishna consciousness. So, sometimes we preach, just like Prabhupada would sometimes meet with important people. And Prabhupada, for example, he preached to George Harrison. And he told George Harrison, you're a shrestha, in other words, you are a leader of society, and Prabhupada would quote this verse, yad yad acharati shrestas tatari vaitharojanaha. As great persons do, then other persons will follow. And George Harrison said to Prabhupada, you know, if you want, I can shave my hair, because he had a lot of hair. I can shave my hair and become one of your devotees. And Prabhupada said, no, just remain where you are, because he was more capable of spreading the movement from his position. And so, basically, he left the world surrounded, at least by one devotee, Mukunda Maharaj was there. And perhaps he went back to the spiritual world, or is in the Krishna consciousness movement now. So then, after some time, getting back to Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwara Puri, and after he got back to Navadvip, he called for Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur came into his house, and Lord Chaitanya went to Srivas Thakur's house, and then Lord Chaitanya sat down on Srivas Thakur's altar. Imagine how shocking that was to Srivas Thakur. Like if I was to come to the temple and sit down on the altar and say to everybody, it's me you've been worshiping the whole time.
Very humble.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya was very humble, but he was truthful. He said to Srivas Thakur, do you know who you've been worshiping all the time? It's me. But of course, Lord Chaitanya showed four arms. So if I could do that, I could sit on the altar. I could show four arms. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to have his kirtans, what we call the nocturnal kirtans. Nocturnal means nightly kirtans, in Srivas Thakur's house. And only pure devotees were allowed in these kirtans. You know, they kept, I guess, a guard at the door or something like that, and check someone's identity card to see if they had like a pure devotee stamp on their passport or something like that. Anyway, they knew everybody. I mean, as they say, it takes one to know one. So if one's a pure devotee, you can spot another pure devotee. So anyway, so they only let pure devotees in. And there were a number of instances that occurred due to that restriction. One is that one time, of course, the kirtan sometimes went on for 72 hours. Just like at our Croatian camp, they said, oh, today is the day for Nama Yajna. I said, oh, that's great. You're going to have a kirtan for at least 12 hours? I said, no, only 3 hours. I said, that's not Nama Yajna. Nama Yajna means 72 hours. And they said, we're not so advanced. So anyway... Can you imagine? Have you ever done a 72-hour kirtan?
The maximum we did here is 26.5 hours. And several times we did 12 hours. And many times we do 3 hours.
You do 72 hours next time. And you have to have some devotees dance throughout the whole thing.
There will not be a problem with some of these ladies.
70, and Prakesha Rupandit, Lord Chaitanya's devotee, would dance for 72 hours. Yes, you have a question? What?
Jashri Prabhu, one of the devotees from Sarajevo, who is a kirtanier, led kirtan for 17 hours in Switzerland once.
Wow.
Full time.
No stopping. No drinking. No
changing three times.
Wow. That's pretty good. So anyway, Prakesha Rupandit, who was dancing for 72 hours in Lord Chaitanya's care. So this is what was going on in Shivas Thakur's house. So they wouldn't allow... Another thing about the kirtans that is interesting, that they chanted Hare Krishna, of course, but they had these Leela kirtans too. Has anyone heard about those? In which they would actually chant poems about Krishna's Leela. In other words, like, Leela kirtans, pretty interesting, isn't it? You've never had any of those. We won't. No, you're not advanced enough. When you become pure devotees, you can do Leela kirtans. Anyway, so they had, well, a lot of Narottamadas Thakur's kirtans were like Leela kirtans or kirtans explaining the relationship with the spiritual master or different levels of devotional service. You could read about some of these in his songbooks. Like our Guru prayer, Shri Guru Charanapadma Keva. That's actually from a longer list of prayers in Narottamadas Thakur's songbooks that takes one from a lower level all the way to the higher level of Krishna Leela. Anyway, so these were Leela kirtans, and they wouldn't allow anyone who wasn't a pure devotee in. So sometimes people would sneak in. One time, Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law snuck in. And some of you heard the story before. She was hiding behind the curtain. Of course, the curtains were opaque, not transparent like this. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting. And he said to the devotees, I'm not experiencing any ecstasy. What's the problem? Someone is here who is not supposed to be here. And they looked all around. Finally, they looked behind the curtains. And there was this old lady. And Lord Chaitanya said, throw her out! And so they, she was stuck there, took her away. Not like that, but anyway. He was kind. He said, my dear Matashri, you better get the hell out of here. You better get out of here. And anyway, she left, and then Lord Chaitanya started dancing and experienced kirtans. Another time, Shivas Thakur invited a Brahmin. There was a very pure Brahmin who lived just by drinking milk. And Shivas Thakur said, he's pure, he lives just by drinking milk. So he should come in. You know, he's not a sense gratifier, so he's qualified to be in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So the same thing happened. Lord Chaitanya wasn't experiencing any ecstasy. And he said, someone must be here. And Shivas Thakur said, well, there's this pure Brahmin here. He just lives by just drinking milk. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is not a qualification for being pure in devotional service. But what happened at that time is the Brahmin took a humble position and apologized to Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy, and Lord Chaitanya said, all right, you can stay. So that had a happy ending, not like the mother-in-law story. So many different things happened. Of course, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having a kirtan. And during that kirtan, Shivas Thakur's son died. And Shivas Thakur looked at the corner of the room and saw the ladies were crying. And he went, he said, why are you crying? Is that a symptom of ecstasy? And they said, no, your son has died. And Shivas Thakur said, I do not want to interrupt the kirtans of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you continue crying, I'll give you a real reason for crying. In other words, it's described that Shrivas Thakur, Malini said many times that Shrivas Thakur had a temper. You know a temper? He would get angry. So you better shut up or else I'll give you a real reason to cry. And then they all, like, you know, held their tears in like that. You know, have you ever tried that with a lady, saying to not cry, she cries more? It doesn't work so well. So anyway, so they were able to hold their tears in. And then later on, Lord Chaitanya finishes Kirtan, he said, something has happened in this house, something maybe not so auspicious, tell me. And Srivastava Thakur says, there's something very little. And someone has died, my son has died. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why didn't you tell me about this? And Srivastava Thakur said, I didn't want to disturb your ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rushed into the room where Srivastava Thakur's son's body was. And he said, why have you left? He touched the heart of Srivastava Thakur's son. And why have you left this world and the association of devotees? And the boy came up and he explained a little philosophy and then he went back. Yeah. He said, so many lives and now I finally achieved the mercy of hearing your kirtan and gone back to Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivastava Thakur that because you were so devoted, you were so devoted to me, you didn't want to disturb my kirtan. From this day forward, myself and Lord Nityananda will be your sons. And literally, that's what happened. It's sometimes in such a way that was a little controversial. What do I mean by that? It was that Lord Nityananda, when he would come to Srivastava Thakur's house in order to take prasadam, he would actually sit on Malini's lap and even drink her breast milk. And remember, Lord Nityananda was like, you know, very tall, like 2 meters high, at least 2 meters high. And he was old, you know, he was old and Malini was old. So it was, of course, Lord Nityananda was called the Avaduta. Avaduta means like the wind. Someone who doesn't have to follow any rules or regulations. Because he's God. Like sometimes devotees try to imitate and make believe they're avadutas, you know, they wear different colored socks or they run around, you know, just looking like Medusa out of Greek mythology. You know Medusa? Somebody, you had on the Medusa? Like, she had such hair. There's snakes in her hair, yeah. The people would look at her and they would turn to stone. So she had to be killed by someone looking in the mirror. Anyway, that's a different story. So, but Prabhupada said only Lord Nityananda can be the Avaduta. I mean, sometimes you find very advanced devotees, like this Vamsi Das Babaji, he did things. Some of you may have heard about him, that we shouldn't even think about imitating. But Lord Nityananda, remember these are pastimes between pure devotees of the Lord. I mean, for example, as I said, Lord Srivastava Thakur's wife, Malini, was Ambika, Krishna's mother, and also in Krishna Balaram's, I mean, not mother, but nurse. So for her to interact with Lord Nityananda in that way was not at all inappropriate. Because in their spiritual, they're always spiritual bodies, in their original spiritual pastimes, that's how they were interacting. So they were just like reviving that particular relationship. So Srivastava Thakur was quite unusual too, because he never worked to make money or to support his family. And Lord Nityananda asked him, I mean Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda asked him, how do you maintain yourself? And Srivastava Thakur said, I have this 1-2-3 technique. And that technique is, if for 3 days or 3 times I don't get any prasadam, I'm going to tie a water pot around me and jump into the Ganges. That means commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, don't even talk like that. I bless you that even if Lakshmi goes hungry, Lakshmi of course is the goddess of fortune, you will never be without anything. So that way Srivastava Thakur was able to chant and dance continually and not have to worry about making money. Pretty good, isn't it? You should all try that technique. Threaten Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another time, these are some stories, that Srivastava Thakur was walking by the Bhagavatam class given by this devotee, Devananda Pandit.
And Devananda Pandit was speaking from the Bhagavatam very nicely, and his disciples were there. And Srivast Thakur, when he heard the Bhagavatam, he just fell on the ground in ecstasy and started shivering and crying. And Devananda Pandit's disciples just like picked him up and threw him out of the Bhagavatam class. And that was a great offense to this pure devotee, Srivast Thakur. So then later on, when Devananda Pandit was giving this Bhagavatam class, Lord Chaitanya walked by, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yelled out right in the middle of Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class that basically you'll never understand the Bhagavatam. And so later on, Devananda Pandit apologized to Srivast Thakur and became a pure devotee. Sometimes also in Srivast Thakur's house, they would have plays with pure devotees, of course, doing the different parts. Like Prabhupada said, when the Vaishnavas do plays, generally it should be pure devotees or devotees following strictly. Prabhupada himself did a play. He played the part of a Dvaitacharya in one play when he was young. And Prabhupada said that they practiced for a whole year before they actually did the play. And when people saw the play, they were crying in ecstasy. Because they had a famous playwright direct the play. Another story about Srivast Thakur's house was the story of Gopal Chapala. Once upon a time, this devotee, or became a devotee later on, Gopal Chapala was envious of Srivast Thakur because he was not allowed in the kirtans, Srivast Thakur and Srivasangam. So therefore he decided to, what do you say nowadays, like an sting operation or something like that? I don't know if you know what that means. You know, sometimes the police, in order to put someone in jail, they'll plant marijuana in someone's house. You ever hear about that before? And then they come in and they discover it and they put you in jail. So he had a similar idea, not with marijuana, of course. Because in India, the sages smoke marijuana. So, like I was in one Shiva temple, and the Shiva Bhakta said, "Here's some Mahaprasada, Maharaj." And I said, "It's a codicil." So no prasadam today. So and that was actually Govardhan too. You know. So there's this Shiva temple, Chakaleshwara Mahadev. It was right in the middle of the Manasi Ganga area. Anyway, so Gopal Chapala thought, "I'm going to frame," that's the English word for it, "I'm going to frame Srivast Thakur." So he took the ingredients for Durga worship and put them all outside his door. It's like if someone put like marijuana outside of your door in your house and you say, "Look at this guy, he's not following the regulated principles." So he did that with Srivast Thakur. And then Srivast Thakur, being very humble, opened his door, saw these ingredients for Durga worship, and he said, "Look, now everybody sees I'm worshiping Durga." And everybody knew he wasn't worshiping Durga. They understood it was just like, you know, someone trying to hurt Srivast Thakur. But this Gopal Chapala, after 3 days, got leprosy. And leprosy means that, you know, basically your fingers like get destroyed, your nose falls off, and there are worms all over your body. It's not a nice disease. It used to be very prominent until they had some cure for leprosy. So then this Gopal Chapala later went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged for forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I curse you to be bitten by these same worms for millions of lifetimes." So he was approaching Lord Chaitanya thinking, Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent. And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I curse you to be bitten by worms for these millions and millions of years." But later on, this Gopal Chapala approached Srivast Thakur and was forgiven. As we know, when you approach a Vaishnava, that's the only way to get forgiven. And even sometimes, it may not be complete, because the Vaishnava, the dust of the Vaishnava's feet may not forgive you. That's interesting, isn't it? So not only do you ask for forgiveness, but you have to go to their feet and take some dust. So So even he may say, I forgive you, but that's not enough sometimes. Because the dust have to forgive you. And what is the dust? It's interesting, sometimes people say, what is the dust? Whoever heard of a dust talk? But the dust of the Vaishnava's feet indicates the Vaishnava's disciples or devotees. You understand? Like we say, you know, please let me become the dust of your feet, or great devotees like Uddhava pray to become dust or creepers in Vrindavan so they can be touched by the gopis. So the, we just like we want to be the dust at Krishna's feet, the dust at Srila Prabhupada's feet. I nana tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishabe pavamburo kripya tapapada pankaja stita duli sadrusam vachintya, isn't it? That, oh my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, please bless me. I'm suffering in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please bless me and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Okay, so that's one story. Another story is that one time there was a tailor. A tailor is someone who makes clothes, you know, sewing. And he was a meat eater. And then because he was serving Srivast Thakur and making him clothes without any pay, getting any pay, Lord Chaitanya blessed him with pure devotional service. That's interesting, isn't it? That's very interesting. Another time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to test Srivast Thakur's love and determination for Lord Nityananda. So he said to Srivast Thakur, look, you're letting this avaduta in your house? I mean, nobody knows where he comes from. Nobody knows, you know, his behavior is highly unusual. You know, what? I think you should kick him out. And Srivast Thakur said that I will not be dissuaded from my worship and respect to Lord Nityananda. Even if I see Lord Nityananda, this is a famous quote, enter a liquor store, even if he marries a Muslim girl, I mean, that would have been like disaster. I will not be dissuaded from my worship of him. Another story. There's so many nice stories. Srivast Thakur one time was talking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone thought he had a whim disorder because he was acting in a way that we considered crazy, not we, but devotees or many people would consider crazy. And Lord Srivast Thakur said, no, it's not a wind disorder. I wish I had the same disorder that you have. That's called Divyonmada. Divyonmada means transcendental insanity. So pure devotees feel this transcendental insanity, although sometimes, or most of the times, they just keep it down. Because this is a particular type of bhava. Bhava means emotion, called Vyabhachari bhava. You've all heard of bhavas before? Right now, we are also experiencing bhavas. It's called bhava rog. What's bhava rog? Does anyone know what a bhava rog is? That means, what? What's a rogi? No, you're either a bogi, yogi, or rogi. That's a sigma. Like Prabhupada said, one who passes stool once a day is a yogi, twice a day is a bogi, and three times a day is a rogi. You ever heard about that before? Prabhupada said that. Rogi means sigma. So we're experiencing right now bhava rog. Bhava rog means emotions that are due to our sickness. Well, distorted, but yeah. Sickness. Sick emotions. Like we're attracted to, even in the mode of goodness. That's a sick emotion. Just like I was at the Croatian camp, and I was looking out at the sea from the island of Ish. And it was actually quite beautiful. You know, there were boats there, and it was like you could see through the ocean, and there were mountains in the distance. And I felt emotions in my heart. How beautiful. But that's Bhava Rogue. Interesting. Bhava Rogue in the mode of goodness. Bhava Rogue in the mode of passion is I must have that. I must eat that. More food. Or more followers. Or lust. Yeah, and Bhava Rogue in the mode of ignorance is I want to sleep and get drunk. You understand? So that's Bhava Rogue. So anyway, so Bhava means emotion. So one of the types of emotion, I'm not going to get into a whole description of emotions, is Vyabhachari Bhavas. And there's, does anyone remember how many Vyabhachari Bhavas there are? Any scholars here? No. 33. 33 different types of emotions. And the Vyabhachari Bhavas, the interesting thing is, they're uncontrollable and intermittent. That means they come when you least expect them. Someone will just say Gauranga and you'll just fall on the ground without planning it. The other types of Bhavas you have some control over. You know, the Sattvika Bhavas and things like that, or Sthayi Bhava. You have some control, you can keep it down. But the Vyabhachari Bhavas are just overwhelming. So anyway, so these are the Bhavas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibit. Of course, the highest degree, which is called, that we don't exhibit, which is called Mahabhava. It's only exhibited by Radharani and her associates. We don't exhibit Mahabhava. We're just Bhava Rogis. Anyways. So these are some of the stories about Srivast Thakur. So on this important day of his disappearance, we don't say death, of course. We should pray for his mercy. And so how do we attain the mercy of Vaishnavas like Srivast Thakur and others? We attain the mercy by serving Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. You understand? Like I was just reading something this morning about how one should not think that they'll become Krishna conscious by becoming a big scholar. But one can become Krishna conscious by sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And the more people you approach and share Krishna consciousness with, the more you will have Krishna consciousness. It is not like ordinary money, that if you give people money in charity, you have less money yourself. But the more Krishna consciousness you give, the more you have yourself. So that is our Krishna consciousness movement. So, any questions or comments? Or problems? Or issues? Yeah.
My English is not better, maybe translate it. That would be
translate. Yeah, yeah, he can translate.
Bhava Roga.
Bhava Roga. Ako nemam... Ako...
You're my buddy.
Then I guess I went nuts.
Yeah, you'll probably either go nuts or you'll be a Mayavadi. And I mean, you do have emotions. I mean, actually, unless you're merged in the Brahman effulgence, you do have feelings and emotions. You never get angry. So? You never become happy. So these are emotions. What do you become happy about? So you become Hare Krishna. You become happy about sweets. Why do you become happy about sweets?
I like this taste.
Then you're thinking of enjoying. Like Prabhupada said, so many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. That means Avacho Vegam Anasakuroda Vegam. Yuva Vegam Udurpashta Vegam. So controlling the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words applies to devotees also when they're eating prasadam. It's not that it's prasadam, I can eat it. I mean, actually, during my health seminar, we talk about how you can eat prasadam and kill yourself. But, you know, before killing yourself, you can also become lusty. Or angry. You know, if you eat too much, I mean, what does Krishna say in the Gita? This Krishna consciousness is not for those who eat too much, or eat too little, or sleep too much, or sleep too little. Mityahara viharasha. We follow the middle path, as Lord Buddha said, right? We're like the Buddhists. Anyway, like Buddha, I mean, interesting. He first engaged in very heavy austerities, and then he almost died. And some lady gave him a pot of like kheer or something like that and saved his life. And then he realized, and actually all his hair fell out because he was engaged in all these austerities. Then he realized this is not the path. And then he advocated the middle path. We also agree with that. It's not that we disagree with Buddha in all respects. And Buddha never directly decried the personality of God. It's just his followers' misinterpretations of his sermons that they mislabel his sermons, actually, like the sermon at Deer Park. In any case, we should have the middle path, not too much, not too little. So if you're attempting to enjoy your senses, even in the name of prasadam, that is, I mean, it's not the worst thing you can do. Yeah, you know, but it's also not pure devotional service at that point. We should be honoring prasadam. Like when Prabhupada ate prasadam, he would take a long time to eat each meal. I mean, like 45 minutes, and he would generally eat alone. And he would chew on each piece. It's not like when we eat, we take these globjimans and we throw them into our mouths. You know, like, we have globjimin eating contests sometimes. Devotees ever have that here?
No.
You've had that. So, I mean, the Prabhupada never did that, but anyway. But sometimes during the festival, Lord Chaitanya would fill people up to their necks and tell them to eat a little bit more. That's alright. But it was a mood of devotion. So the emotion has to be a mood of devotion or else it's bhava rog. If it's a mood of enjoyment, if you're thinking of yourself as the enjoyer, that's bhava rog. But if you're thinking of giving enjoyment to Krishna, that is the transcendental emotion. That one has to be able to distinguish. It requires one being very introspective in Krishna consciousness to examine your motives. You know, what is my motive for doing this? What is my motive for even eating? I mean, I'm not imposing this that you have to do it right away. Because Krishna does allow us to dovetail things in the beginning. Like you have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Samvada, you know, the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Ramananda Roy is presenting different objects as far as the ultimate goal, or different processes as far as the ultimate goal. First he started with Varnashram. Lord Chaitanya rejected that. He said, just external. And then he talked about renunciation. Lord Chaitanya rejected that. Then he talked about Karma Mishra Bhakti. And he even used that verse from the Gita. Yat Kuroshi Yadishnashi Yat Jahoshi Dadasi Yat Yatapashashi Kuntiya Tat Kurishwa Madarpanam. Whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to me. I mean, which we agree with. But Lord Chaitanya said, we see many people who do that. They're just doing that for their, you know, like karma mishra bhakti, mixing the desire to enjoy with bhakti. So that's still, at least to a certain extent, the bhava rog is there, trying to enjoy Krishna. We should be enjoyed by Krishna. We are prakriti. And Krishna is what? Purusha. we're all females in an ontological sense. That's a fancy word. And you know, it's, anyway, it doesn't mean we're all gopis. That means our mood and relationship to Krishna is to be enjoyed by Krishna. And Krishna is the enjoyer. Ekala Ishra Krishna. Arasadhavajya. There is one Ishra, controller, enjoyer. And that's Krishna. Everybody else is meant to be enjoyed. It's nice. Or you may not think it's nice, but anyway, it is nice. Because that's how you become happy. And when you take that position, you can control Krishna by your love. Right? Nectar devotion says it's the only means of attracting Krishna. Or controlling Krishna, like Radharani does. So yeah, we have to be able to distinguish what is a material emotion, what is a spiritual emotion. It takes some introspection. Yeah, why am I doing this? What is my motivation? Why am I chanting? Why am I eating prasadam? Why am I doing, isn't it? It's intense. 24 hours a day, you've got to be looking introspective. You can't just do things externally. You've got to just look and, you know, why am I doing this? You know, am I giving class because I want to enjoy everybody just looking at me? Or am I giving class because I want to please Krishna? Or bring people to Krishna consciousness? So there's motivation. Motivation is an extremely important subject matter to understand in Krishna consciousness. So any other questions? Or yeah. Whoop.
Bhava means emotion.
Bhava means emotion. Feeling emotion from the heart. Emotion, bhava. And it manifests, I mean, there's the external manifestations of bhava. You ever had a manifestation of bhava? External manifestations of bhava. Like, you know, crying. There's different things, like even foaming at the mouth. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, foam would come from his mouth. Of course, some devotees, they would drink up that foam. Yeah, well, that's Lord Chaitanya. I wouldn't mind doing that. Not with anyone else. But, or, you know, Ashru Taranga Bhaja. No, we're chanting about that every morning. What is it? Mahaprabhu Kirtana and Richagita Varitramanya Manaso Rasena. Romancha, the hairs are standing on end. I've never had my hair stand on end. Except sometimes when I'm in a car and someone's driving who's not a good driver. My hair stand on end out of fear. Like that. And, so anyway, these bodily symptoms, or even burping can be considered, not for us, but belching, you understand? That's actually one of the, it's mentioned in Nectar Devotion, you know, Radharani's belching. And that's actually in a manifestation of an emotion of love of Krishna. Because when we do it, it just means we ate too much. But when Radharani does it, it's just, anyway, I think you get the idea, these are all bhavas. And the acharyas analyze bhavas in different categories, beginning with vibhavas, you know, stimulation for emotion. But that's, you can read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Maduri Kadambani, or Nectar Devotion actually talks about this. It's important to understand. But the main thing to understand is that we are actually servants, and we're meant to give pleasure to Krishna. And that's our natural position, jivaras rupahoy. Nitya Krishna Das. So any other questions or comments or problems or issues? Yeah.
Why we are not celebrating disappearance days of Krishna and Vishnu Tattvas?
Disappearance day? Of Vishnu Tattvas?
You said it, appearance and disappearance.
Yeah, well, the point is the disappearance of the Vishnu Tattvas. Like you have this Moksha Leela of Krishna is considered to be an illusory Leela. Manifested for the atheists. So, devotees don't even like that Leela. Because it's an illusory Leela, where Krishna apparently leaves a body, you know. And it's just it's a lila constructed for the atheist. And then, you know, and devotees don't, I don't know, it's nothing to really celebrate, like Lord Ramchandra entering into the Sarayu River and with all his associates going back to the Ayodhya in the spiritual world. It's just not, it's not something you really want to meditate on. It's just a, to me, it's not like something like, I mean, it's ecstatic because it's spiritual, that's a spiritual pastime. But it's not an occasion for celebration, yeah.
I heard one explanation about this regarding bodily conception, that because we have this bodily conception, when Vaishnava is disappearing, somehow we can relate with that. I don't know, can you explain something, because it's not clear to me.
I can't always relate to it. I mean, it's well, and one thing is actually a celebration, because Nitya Pravishta, they entered into the eternal realm. So in one sense, it's like a Vaishnava going back to the spiritual world, whereas Krishna is always in the spiritual world. Goloka Evani Vashati Aki Vatma Bhuta. It's just, I don't know, it's not something that has ever been celebrated. Because it's not, because generally it's like in the Moksha Lila, it's an illusory pastime. You know, for those who don't understand God. But even sometimes you have Vaishnavas like Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who entered into the Tota Gopinath deity. And, you know, didn't leave a body or anything like that. He just entered into the deity. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, entered into that same deity. And even you have Mirabai. You know the story of Mirabai? She went into the temple and then she was gone. They didn't find her. All they found was her instrument, her veena, that she was playing. So, anyway, I don't want to celebrate Krishna's Moksha Lila. And actually, I say, usually when I describe the Vaishnava's disappearance, I don't describe it as a celebration, I describe it as a commemoration. There's a different word. Because we don't like to think of Vaishnavas leaving this world. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, the Vaishnavas don't die, you know, they're still present in sound, as sound vibration. I mean, I certainly wouldn't think of celebrating, in the real sense, Prabhupada's disappearance from this world. It's actually a bittersweet type of occasion. I mean, mostly bitter and not so sweet. But it's an occasion for commemorating, to dedicate ourselves to the service of the Vaishnava more. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah.
And with that regard, I have a question.
Okay, you have a question.
Did you actually take sannyas just 1 year after Prabhupada's disappearance?
Less than a year after Prabhupada's disappearance.
Because of the principle that you just explained.
Yeah. Yeah, because Prabhupada said, yeah, Prabhupada said in the fourth canto, part four of the Bhagavatam, that when the spiritual master disappears, the disciple should be ready to leave his body along with the spiritual master. Like the chaste wife would leave, the sati rite, the chaste wife would leave her body and jump into the fire. So, but Prabhupada said, just like the chaste wife can remain in this world, if she has some service to the husband, like taking care of the children, in the same way the disciple can stay in this world if he serves the mission. And one who serves the mission of the guru, the super soul is manifest to one. It's a test. Like you see, when Prabhupada left, so many people left the movement or left Krishna consciousness. Yeah. I mean, how many active Prabhupada disciples are there today? A few hundred, maybe, if we're lucky. And because many people they just needed the Vapu. And the spiritual master is spiritual, but it's not manifest all the time, and actually it's very sentimental. I mean, even when Prabhupada was present, the approach to Prabhupada and the guru, Prabhupada as a guru, was very sentimental. I mean, it was almost like the groupies at a rock and roll concert. You know what I mean by groupies? We call them guru upis. Guru upis. That, you know, Jai Prabhupada. But even when Prabhupada was present, devotees didn't, in general, most devotees didn't follow Prabhupada. You know, people say that when Prabhupada was present, everything was like perfect in the Krishna consciousness movement. Well, I was there. And there were more problems then than there are now. Because basically, because all of us were like 21, 22 years old. And, you know, we're in charge of temples and doing whatever we were doing. And Prabhupada was like, Prabhupada was trying to do practically an impossible thing with all of us. You know, there's this statement about trying to herd cats. You ever heard that statement before? And we were like these cats that were, you know, cats are independent. And Prabhupada was trying to herd us. And there was fighting, there was, you know, there was revolutions going on. Even when Prabhupada was on the planet, I'll tell you what, one revolution. I was working, helping print and publish Prabhupada's books in Spanish. I was in Los Angeles. And then the devotee who is the temple president in Mexico City called me, because I was working with South America. And he called me, he said, "Maharaj, the devotees want me to resign as temple president." And then he said, continued talking, he said, "Well, they have a gun in my head." He said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, it's a good idea for you to resign." You know, what a question to ask. What should I do? You know, resign and get out of there.
Resign the body.
You know, he had a choice, of course, but it's an obvious choice what you want to do. So that went on when Prabhupada was on the planet. I mean, I can tell you all sorts of wild things that went on when Prabhupada was on the planet. So, it's not that things were actually more Krishna conscious. Things are more Krishna conscious now because people are devoted to actually, people who stayed are actually devoted to Prabhupada's vani, instructions. You know, the Prabhupada disciples, they've actually become very fixed up. The people have stayed. And many people have left and formed their own organizations. But they didn't understand Prabhupada's instruction. That your love will be tested by your staying in ISKCON and cooperating. If we leave ISKCON, after having taken shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet, understanding Prabhupada's instruction to stay in ISKCON, then our Krishna consciousness is like an hallucination. You know, you may be chanting, you may have some Krishna consciousness. But you really won't achieve perfection because Prabhupada won't be pleased with you. So we stay within ISKCON. Anyway, I don't dwell on Prabhupada's passing from this world. It's not a celebration to me. It's like a dedication. I don't say, you know, celebration to me means like you bring out the balloons at someone's birthday party. And you have your little, you know those things you blow and they go, oh, oh. You ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lollipop, it's like a blow thing and it uncurls and then it curls back. Yeah, you've heard kids blow and they sparklers and everything like that. It's at Prabhupada's disappearance day. It's not, I don't have that mood in Prabhupada's disappearance day. It's a very solemn occasion for rededication. Right? So, any other questions or arguments? Yeah.
I'd just like to say something on this very auspicious day. You described now a little bit about the meaning of the logic behind the there is no words with which I, as one of your disciples here in Saran can glorify you for this purpose, but thank you for showing us a great example of an acharya following spiritual master's footsteps properly. And you've taken sannyas when you were 28 years
old. Yeah, 28.
And now I'm 38, and most of people here are around
30s,
28 or something. Mm. And we can, I probably, I cannot imagine taking sannyas now. I don't know about others, but.
We will never let you take sannyas.
I'm trying, I'm trying to imagine your level of consciousness or understanding of Krishna consciousness at that age. And thank you very much for
thank you.
Staying on this path for so many years. 35 years is a magnificent achievement. It's not just 35 years. 3 years of being sannyas is glorifiable for 35 years.
Well, thank you. And well, we get a lot of ma prasadam.
Thank you. Hills.
No, I can't even eat ma prasadam anymore. That's the problem. Before I took sannyas, I was thinking, wow, I get all the maha plates, but after a few years, you understand that you can't do it anymore. I can just eat one tulsi leaf for a maha plate, that's all I can do. Anyway, thank you. Alright, so anything more about Shivas Thakur? What?
I have one question and one problem.
Okay.
Uzimajući sannyasi sa tako malo godina, jer je pitanje bila, mislim, gledajući sada nas, da li znači da su oni bili mnogo izbiljni, on neki način, ili to bila milost Prabhupada ili još?
Your god brothers or colleagues at that time were taking sannyas at a very early age.
Right.
Does that mean that they were much more serious than us today, or that was just Prabhupada's person or something else?
That's interesting. Prabhupada had an expression for that. Let's see if I can remember the expression. It's something like, and I forget there's a term in English. It's like giving a soldier a position when they're on the battlefield. And what that means,
your
battlefield promotion. Yeah, it's something like battlefield.
A specific need of a battle.
Battlefield promotion. So what that means exactly is that Prabhupada actually said that. He said that I'm giving you a battlefield promotion. What that means is that ordinarily you wouldn't get promoted. But because, you know, we're in the middle of the war. You know, like if you're fighting, and that, you know, everything's going haywire. You got to say, "All right, you're in charge here." And it was an emergency situation, and so Prabhupada gave sannyas to people, emergency. So a lot of people took sannyas prematurely. Nowadays, of course, we have a nice system in ISKCON. People get reviewed for many years. I mean, I joke about it. You know, Pallad Nandamari is in charge of the sannyas ministry. He's really strict. Sometimes I joke that you have to be 85 and they put you on a 5-year waiting list to make sure you don't get married. But it's not quite that bad. But we have, you know, there's a lot of review and people have to have a certain level of education and everything like that. Because we lost a lot of sannyasis for a variety of reasons. Like the person who took sannyas with me at the same initiation, his name was Jagajivan. I mean, he's still in the movement. But, you know, he's married and he's serving ISKCON, so, you know, anyway, it's alright. So, and several people of my generation, I mean, another person who took sannyas right after me, a few months after me, was Alanath Maharaj. And he's left ISKCON and formed his own organization. So, you know, you just don't find a lot of people able to stick to it. So now there's much more control of the sannyas ashram. But, anyway.
Yeah, it's
what?
Needed,
required. It was required. It's called, battlefield promotion. Yeah, battlefield promotion is what it's called. You know, like deputy, you deputize someone, like in the Old West, you know, they deputize someone who really wasn't qualified just because there wasn't anyone else. And Prabhupada only had 11 years to spread the movement, basically, from 65, but actually it didn't start till 66, the preaching. He arrived in America at 65. And he only had a few years to open up 108 temples. He had to do something really radical, which he did, and he was a success at it. All right?
I have a problem with spiritual problem, objectively, but when you have
I'll tell you the problem that I have objectively, and if you can comment,
all right.
Please.
Robert Small, what is Robert 8 kilos?
I've received this body, my big body. I was born with 5.6 kilos.
That's a lot. I know what it is, yeah.
Some devotees take much more prasadam than I take. And they look actually thinner.
It's not that we have one.
Yeah.
Thank you. The type of кожу да и така далее. Дали карнички, мислим, то са ни питания, но и карнички. Yeah. Is
there
something to do with karma also?
Well, no, yeah, well, it has
roughly, that's it.
It has to do with karma when one gets a particular type of body, and there's different natures of bodies. You know, there's kapha, there's pitta, there's vata bodies, and you know, if you're pitta, you can eat more. If you're vata, you're always thin, ready to float away into the sky. But you know, vata, you better eat more, else it's just like you're so spaced out, you'll never understand anything. And if you're kapha, you can just breathe and you get fat.
Actually, glass of water makes me. Some of the water takes like 2 or 3 plates big prasadam. I will never eat that in a week. But he's teeny.
Well, maybe you should become a breatharian. You know what a breatharian is? Or a sun gazer. I mean, maybe you can just live without eating too much. I would suggest that you go on a juice diet for about 3 weeks. You can attend my seminar on health at the camp. Oh. Anyway, it's all on the internet. I gave the same seminar at the Croatian camp, and it's all on the internet with videos and everything like that. So, anyway, I mean, I could give different suggestions, but, you know, some people need to eat less, some people need to eat more. That's just the way these bodies are. But it's actually a blessing. It's a blessing to really not be able to eat too much, because that helps us control our senses. Yeah, it helps control, because if you can control the tongue, you can conquer Krishna. That's the interesting thing, isn't it? One who can control the tongue can conquer the other senses. But you know, that's Vacho Vegam, Anasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udra Pashta Vegam. So if you have some situation where you're forced to control the tongue, I mean, just like my situation, I was experiencing some health difficulties about 8 years ago, you know, allergies and all sorts of things. And I had, you know, I was very attached to certain foods, especially pizza, which is the devotee's favorite food, you know. It's Vedic. Japati, you know, paneer on top. Vedic preparation. Like Krishna, you hear about that, Bhaktavata, so the sugar roll, Krishna sits down and eats pizza with his coward boyfriends. No, anyway, so so I was very attached, and I used to have cheese with everything. I've described this to devotees before. Yeah, cheese with cheese in my cereal in the morning, cheese on the fruit. Some of you know me from then will remember that. But then I started to have these health difficulties, like, you know, allergic reactions. I mean, really severe. pains, arthritis, all these things. I mean, I was having trouble doing so. I wasn't that big, but I was having trouble with the body. And so then I was inspired by the higher powers, my guardian angels. In the New Age parlance, you know, the angels. No, not really. I'm not that New Age. So I was inspired to change. Rather than taking medicine. And I had to control my diet and give up all these things I was attached to. I was so attached to milk products that I had to give it up. Milk products, fried foods. I mean, when I first joined the movement, eating a cauliflower pakora was like going back to Godhead. Yeah. So Krishna forced me, and I see it as a benediction, because it forced me to become more serious about controlling the senses, and helped me develop a stronger intelligence too. So this is whatever situation we find ourselves in has actually been arranged from Krishna to help us become stronger in Krishna consciousness. I think we have to end now.
Yes.
So tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is a Kadashi, for those of you who don't know. So usually we try to chant 64 rounds on a Kadashi. That's a good time, good thing to do. You don't have to work. And so what we're going to be doing with some of the devotees, the method I do, sometimes I take a long walk. I walk between 10 and 20 kilometers and chant. So we'll be starting to walk at about what time? 6 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Any of you are in good shape.
We will start at 6 o'clock from our house and we will walk and sometime or some place around the Otoka. If devotees want, they can join us. And then we go towards the river.
Of course, you should still have a morning program here. I mean, I think probably Smita Krishna Maharaj will give the morning program tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So we'll be going to the other side of the city or whatever. Maybe we'll walk to Frisco Goranga or something. I have one godbrother, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, who walks thousands and thousands of kilometers. But I'm not saying we should do that. Anyway, so we'll walk and chant, get a lot of rounds done,
and
finish by about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, we'll finish 64 rounds. Pretty good, isn't it? Chanting 64 rounds is easy. As long as you turn your mobile phone off. And don't do anything else you just chant. It's not hard. It's really not hard. It's hard when you just break it up into different segments and you're eating and going to take a little nap and then you're waking up again. But it's actually enjoyable. I look forward to Ekadashis. And tomorrow's supposed to be nice weather too.
Yes, something like today.
Like today, so it'll be nice. Anyway, so that's what we'll do. And then tomorrow evening we'll give a class here. But I want to give a class about Krishna's pastimes, some of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Since Prabhupada said, Ekadashi is a good day for remembering Govinda. So rather than a Gita class, it'll be about some Leela or something like that. Alright?
Do you want us to start earlier than usual? We start with Gaurarabhika at 6:30 and then lecture starts at 7.
It's pretty late for me. If we can switch it would be better.
Do you mind if we start at 5:30 with Gaurarabhika and 6 with lecture starts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, sutra je pola 6 Gaurarabhika I u 6 počne lekcija tačno vrijeme.
Yeah, I'm not a late person.
Mm-hmm.
Early to bed, early to rise makes the sannyasi healthy, wealthy, and wise. Wealthy, yeah, we need wealthy sannyasis. So, alright, I guess that's it. We've got a lot of people watching this. More than here. On Mayapur TV, we had sometimes up to 20 people watching. Pretty good, isn't it?